Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast. This is Russ Dizdar. Behind all this, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Yesterday, I made a mistake. I mentioned we're doing Session 17, Volume 3, Spiritual Warfare, the training stuff. And I said, I think I said Session 13. So yesterday was 17A, today is 17B. The title, Discerning Satanic Counterfeits and Triumphing Over Them. Now that's a vital thing for all of us, because not only do we see this in the Old Testament, hey, you remember the story, Moses in the courts of Pharaoh and the sorcerers there and the snake, the rod of God, and the demonstration of the power of God over those dark powers. Or we look at Elijah also and the prophets of Baal and the entire engagement there, and they're calling on their gods. So we have said all along, Halathia, truth, would be the focus of Volume 3, the reality that we live in. We live in a world fallen. We live in a world where the enormous activity of the dark side is becoming more evident. Problem is that its powers of morphing and counterfeiting and engaging and deception and all the rest of that is beyond mere human comprehension or discernment, really. And so it comes down to, well, then how do you engage a non-human supra presence all around us? Well, that comes from the hand of God, as we see in the garden, Genesis 3. It comes through all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, the vast, vast content of biblical revelation. That's important. Well, we'll get to it in a few moments. Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast. Russ Dizdar here on a Wednesday night. Now I want to say this. I've been looking at another six-part series, maybe something smaller, volume 4. But we want to touch on ritual warfare and human sacrifice. And what about demons and charged objects, demons and ritual sites, demons and generational things handed down? How does that work? And then demonic presence in the upcoming time of the Antichrist. And does the false prophet release a demon into the image of the beast? And let's ask the question now, is that artificial intelligence? How about do a little study on the Artalex? I believe that on the other side, they are guiding the scientists in the development of something that could be opened to a spirit interfacing and it becoming alive. Well, I think that that's true in the world of the science and technology, and Elon Musk is concerned, and then the transhumanist. But in the world of AI, the big issue will be because we as humans, body, soul, and spirit, and just machine alone will not be enough. But that's something that the scientists are doing and working on, but they don't understand one thing. That there is a presence behind everything shaping, has been shaping human history. We're living in that. And I believe right now, Matthew 24, the Odin, the times of sorrow are here. And we're just around the corner from the big stuff. The shock and awe of the end of days that eventually shuts down. Well, Jesus does. The end of fallen human history as we know it, that ultimately is a good thing. Hey, where do you stand? You know where you're going. Living Christ, a salvation, a hero of humanity. We looked at Simon, a sorcerer in Samaria, and how he consumed the town, and spiritually it was just umbrellaed and gripped, and lives were possessed. One individual goes in and helps to spiritually liberate that city, and that's an incredible thing. And then we looked at the prophet dreamer. Deuteronomy 13 is an incredible thing because the dark side counterfeit will always be powerful and real and demonstrative. It'll look like and seem like it's coming from God, but it ultimately will lead you away from the living God to a counterfeit, small g, to a different revelation, doctrine, didache daemonoia or didache satanas, directly. So you look at Genesis 3, and that's didache satanas. He did that. He spoke that. He's the one that did that in Matthew 4 in engaging Jesus. So you look at the Spirit of God giving us the content to see, to become aware of, be alert of, to know our authority, to have the armor, to realize it. It was a battle for your soul, believe it or not, yours, and a battle for the rest. Are you in the fight? Hope to see some of you in Lima, Ohio. We're going to be down there in July. I think it's 26, 27. So all on the website, shatterthedarkness.net. Scroll down a little bit, right there in that little middle part, if you haven't signed up for the preemptor. That's just simply a bulk emailer going out. No cost, nothing else. We don't give it away. And we put out our stuff, new MP3s, updates on courses, anything and everything we have to give you, and conferences and speaking engagements, things like that. So you'll get that 2, 3, sometimes 4 times a week you'll get that. And that'll also then tell you about the discounts and stuff, which is helpful. So I hope you'll sign up for that. Next to that is conferences. Now, I'm on the phone today with a new friend. There is a very good possibility that we're going to be in Vancouver, Canada in September. That's all I'm going to say right now. Then we'll get the rest when we get the nail down of all that, which could be, you know, this next month, and letting you know and letting others know. And listen, want to say welcome to all Canadians. You know I love you. You know I care about you. We've been up to a few places, including Kelowna, which was an astoundingly beautiful area. A lot of New Age stuff, a lot of SRA stuff behind the scenes, a lot of old bikers up there too. Well, that's one thing we want to make everybody know. That's why so many of you in Canada listen. You want the content that we were supposed to have. That again doesn't leave believers as just kind of curious spectators watching from a distance, but makes us the powerhouses that God intended and puts us on the field of ministry. And then we get the privilege of doing things, well, that we could never have done on our own. It is a privilege to lead someone to Christ, to pray and see a healing, to engage the demonic world and have the conscious empowerment of God that that burns away the fear and gives eventually a fearlessness, engaging that side too. You just simply become stronger and bolder and broader and wider and more confident and competent in Christ. That's important. We mentioned also in 17a of this, 1 John 4, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. So that's important. As a believer, we must. And one of the major, major teachings that we need to look at is the counterfeit. Now, Jesus mentions this in Matthew 24. They ask what's the end of the age, what's it going to be like, and his return, all about that very end. First thing, Jesus mentions, don't let anybody deceive you. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. There'll be people coming saying they're the Christ, the spirit of Antichrist, and the many antichrists, and then the knowledge of the antichrist coming, 1 John 2. How do we know it's the last hour of human history? Well, take a look. 1 John 2. That's the good news. It's all there. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. So much there. You know what? I'm so busy, so in, so growing, so whatever. But I want you to know this. You have the opportunity to dedicate time in study, and we have a lot of courses up, and most of those are just audio courses, you know, 15 hours, 20 hours, 25 hours, and it's all free. We're up to over 81 million downloads worldwide on all the archives and content and all that kind of stuff. That's a good thing. So to the whole of the world, welcome. We love you. We pray for you. We ask you to pray for us. We acknowledge you and your desire to know and to have the teaching and biblical content you want. So we want to say again what we usually say on the Ragged Edge, and this is the biblical truth, that nobody loves you more, nobody knows you better, and nobody desired you the way God did in Christ. In that salvation comes all of the Scripture, all the promises of God, all the prophecies we see, and the ability to walk with God when you know Him. The ability to have, nobody can help you more, nobody can guide you more, nobody can educate you more, and nobody can put you on the field of human history and lead you to fight for the souls of men and women, to lead you to fight against radical evil of abortion and human trafficking and pharmakia drug scourge and ritual human devastation out there, SRA, and all the rest of that. And so it's very important that we realize that's why I'm telling you that it's not... Because the church, and maybe I need to write on this. You tell me about that. Subnormalism. How about a title of a book or sermon or message? Or we look at the book of Revelation, Sardis and Laodicea. So it is very possible for local churches, and I think entire denominations, and I think even regions, to become subnormal. And the evidence of that is found in Sardis and Laodicea, those two churches. How to come out of that? Well, Jesus gives the prescription to become alive, and I believe powerful and able and all the rest. And that's what you know what? As I speak, He's there with you. As I speak, the Spirit of God sanctifying your life, conforming you to the image of Christ, and may He stretch out His hand. Today, Father, to stretch out your hand to save powerfully, to heal lives, Lord Jesus, by your stripes we are healed. And we pray for astounding healing, body, soul, and spirit to individuals listening. And in the name of Jesus, we command that all demonic powers be broken. Lord, deliver individuals and even demonstrate sign and wonder. May you come in cities and regions as in history and strike with a massive revival. I believe millions upon millions upon millions are yet to get saved. So get in the battle, get in the joy of it. The joy of the Lord is in it, and the joy of heaven rejoicing over even one. Now, we went over the notes here, and I want to go over those really quick here. We touched on Deuteronomy 13. I really want you to have that down and know that, because it's part of the evidence of the dark side, and that's thousands of years ago. Well, reiterated then just a couple thousand years ago in 1 John and the spirit of Antichrist. We see it in the garden. We see it throughout all the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 13 is a warning, because the dark side works in that way, to counterfeit as if to be God, to be a God, to do supernatural things and to bring out supernatural things to dazzle people, which supernatural things do. If it comes from God, it leads to Christ. It leads to God. It's in sync with all of Scripture. If it is not from God, it will move you away from the living, real Jesus. It'll move you away from Scripture to some other revelation they want to bring you. And that's the vital difference. Now, that's going to be seen again in 1 John. That's going to be seen as we read about counterfeits directly. In the final development of the Antichrist, he is called the Anthropos Anomos, the man of lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians 2. Now, in the development of that one and his coming and the restrainer restraining him from breaking out, God sovereignly holds that, holds the door there. But with that comes the supernatural working of Satan with pseudo, the counterfeit, the false, but they're real in the sense that there's real supernatural power, miracle, sign, wonders, and so forth that they can do, but it's pseudo. It's counterfeit to God, and it's razor blade sharp deception and seduction and the damage. We got to realize that deception always brings destruction and damage to lives, always does. And so there is an enemy on the planet, and it doesn't make any difference whether people are lost and they don't believe it. Their belief does not change Halathea, truth, reality. So I mentioned in 17a, we have options as believers right now. The more satanic signs, wonders, and miracles. I'm going to tell you now, based on prophecy, that more counterfeit will be out all over the place, seducing hundreds of millions. And it'll try to enter the church and try to bring deception to the church. So we are warned of counterfeits. So what do we, the believers, do? Listen, if we're subnormal, powerless spectators, then I'm going to say this. I'm concerned that a lot of believers, didn't Paul say this in 2 Corinthians 11? Go take a little read of what he says concerning he's concerned for the believers there that they're going to be led astray. The same way Eve was by Satan in his cunning, his trickery. So either we stay, pastors and leaders, listen, either the body of Christ stays powerless and weak and subnormal and spectatorship, you know, spectator-oriented, backing away and walking around with trepidation and so forth. It stays that way, and believers can get, you know, deceived by the fake. Or number two, we can shut down, you know, just say, listen, we're not going to permit anything supernatural. Well, what about answers to prayer? What about the presence of the Holy Spirit? What about gathering in services? What about charismatic giftings? What about healing and or deliverance? So I'm going to tell you again, the normal body of Christ, the normal church is a supernaturally, and I'm going to say it this way, the most supernatural, empowered, enhanced, than anything on the planet. There's nothing else that equates to this. God in us, God with us, the Spirit of God and the works of Jesus and the saving, healing, the, well, book of Acts, God's the God of angels, and he's the God of earthquakes and power that shakes buildings, and he raised people from the dead. So that's what I believe. I believe the Word of God and the works of God are inseparably connected. And when believers believe both and are deeply saturated in the Word of God, deeply, and in their obedience, and that's where you grow in the depth. You even grow deeper in the Word by being out there doing the works of Jesus. So the Word leads to obedience. The Word leads to doing those works by obedience. And so that's, you know, what's happening is very weak, subnormal Christianity shuts down everything and becomes even more powerless, and it becomes extremely ineffectual, almost as if all the rest of the city doesn't even know you exist. Now, the third option, open wide the gates. Psalm 81:10. Open wide the gates, Ephesians 3:20, 21. That means just believing God for every ounce. All of us, if you understand the hour, if you understand the need of salvation, if you see the radical decadence and all that stuff, it's not good enough just to be bugged about it. It's part of what we should know, that it's coming. It's going to happen. It's going to get worse in every single way. The violence, the bloodiness, the conflict, the confusion, the rancor, the love of most will grow cold, and the increase, the abounding of wickedness, and then the overwhelming number of the demonic side. So now, does that negate anything we have? No, it doesn't negate a single thing you have. As a matter of fact, powerful, real, strong believers, the way we're meant to be, will shine even all the brighter. The message of hope, indestructible hope, the prayers and God's intervention will be even more astounding, cutting through the darkness. But it's the only thing that will. It's the only thing that will. So the decision is, do we want everything that God has? I do, and that's what I'm going to pray for, including revivals and every single thing I see in the book of Acts. In the evangelization of millions worldwide. And for us individually, leading hundreds, you, I hope you've done this, in the, if you got the prayer manual, that we put out, and just making the list and praying for the others. So if you're in that and you have the heart of God, then you know that none should perish, that he wants to save and that he's here to work. So I don't care how dark and demonic and evil and ugly and violent it becomes, none of that negates the overwhelming superiority and power and authority and grace and might and hope that we have in Jesus to give. And even more so, because there are so many people that are burned by the dark side, burned by the drugs, burned by the decadence, burned by the, and there's millions of New Agers that are burned out. They've been, some of them been searching for 30 and 40 years, trying to turn over every spiritual rock. Problem is, they've been guided in satanic synchronicity. If you have dark side spirits, masqueraded or not, operative on your life, they're only going to lead you in their direction and connect you and with their stuff and give you more of the same. That's the only way they're going to lead. They're going to lead you away further and further from God, his revelation, Christ. They don't want you to go there. But no matter how deep, even some of the recon artists in the shadows, dark shadows, and you never say a word, you never mention, you never write. I don't care how dark and deep you're in. Even blood on your hands. The blood of Jesus speaks more powerful. Where sin abounds, grace much more. Romans 6. And God can pull you out. And we should know this, to snatch some from the flames. You ever read the end of Jude? Oh, by the way, Jude's an astounding book of both standing strong and defending and knowing truth in the conflict of error and so forth, and the end of the age and the prophecy. And so take a look at Jude today. Now unto him is able to keep you from falling and present you. Have you read that lately? So open wide the gates for all of us as believers. So Father, we want everything you have for the salvation of the most and the engagement and empowerment of your people. We want Jesus to be glorified in the context of the body of Christ, not dumbed down by society around us as if we think if we cater to it, they will like that. No, that grieves the spirit so many times. So we ask the question, what are we called to do? That's the big issue. As a believer, what am I called to be and what am I called to do? That's, did we take up the cross? So I'm going to go over that again. We cannot be defined. We do not find our definition by the world, the flesh, and the counterfeits, of course, out there. Not even by the world around us. Our defining is under the umbrella and the shepherding and the lordship of Jesus of Nazareth. And you can't get any higher than that. Amen? Colossians 3, take a read. Now, those who practice the dark arts, we went over that. I want to just remind you a couple of things. They were here before, all the way back. When you do the study of Sumer and Babylon and Nimrod and all the rest, there's a bloodline, though, from there all the way. The dark side has been here all along. And their plot and plan to do and to preempt what God is doing, their time is running out. Their time is short. They know this, Revelation 12. They've been here for a long time in a long line of satanic bloodline. They're also, you know, those who are willing servants are the sons of the devil. You know, that's what it speaks about in Scripture. Now, we touched on point two in the notes of session 17. Those who are masqueraded. Now, that's where we have read in 2 Corinthians concerning that process of them masquerading. And that's vital for us, because when we read that they are able to do this and this is part of what they do, this is part of the deceit. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I want to read to you. Says this, and I will continue doing what I'm doing, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be found equal with us in what they boast about. For such are false apostles and deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan, metaskizmazotai, disguises, morphs, that's the physics of the dark side. That's the aliens, that's the Great White Brotherhood, that's the Ascended Masters, that's the dead people walking, that's the shadow people, that's all of that. That side is able to morph its presence tactically in order to bring about broader deception as they size individuals in humanity up. So even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And he's not. He's not. So this is that aspect that we're talking about when we say the masquerade. And so study that and realize the dark side has that. And as they operate in lives, you're going to find cult leaders and others. There's a lot of masquerade, presenting themselves as one thing, and they really are something else. And there's predatory presence in all of that, and that's Satan and the demons. They claim to be one of us. Well, the early Nicolaitans did, the Cerinthian and Docetic Gnostics. That's the backdrop of the book of 1 John. In the book of 1 John, the Spirit of God guides John to write, "I'm writing to you because of those who are trying to lead you astray." That's the intent. So if I can go back to some of the occult writings, you're going to see that very principle. Even when Alice Bailey in the book The Externalization of the Hierarchy, when a high-powered entity, demonic entity, fallen one, is guiding them in dictation. I mean, it's literally a fulfillment of what the Spirit of God warned in 1 Timothy 4:1 on down. Doctrines, teachings, revelations of demons. So, counterfeit to the inspired word of God by the Spirit of God comes inspired writings by demonic side. And they're charged, and they present that side. So when I have studied and kind of, again, reconning and looking at their content, you can see the astounding deception even in the writings and the twistedness. So if you have somebody that doesn't know much of Scripture, if you have somebody that doesn't know much of anything on that basis, it's very possible for them to be deceived because of the twisted content and the spirit, demonic presence behind it. When you read the Word of God, the Spirit of God is behind that, obviously. You know that as a believer. So they may claim to be one of us. 1 John 2 says, they went out from us. It's a genitive of belonging, because they didn't belong to us. It's referring to the ones operative with the spirit of Antichrist. Those operating with a spiritual unction but was the spirit of Antichrist, they went out from us because they didn't belong to us. For if they would have belonged, they would have stayed, but their going evidenced them being not of the Spirit of God. And that's important. So the Word of God, the centrality of Jesus and his deity, and the work of the Spirit of God. So Word of God, the living Jesus as God, and the Spirit of God operative in our lives is not only a defense, but in our obedience to him becomes a very big, broad offense. Forward moving, as we already looked at with Paul engaging the sorcerer in Acts 13. And that needs to be done. We can't just say, oh, stay away from that. I think truly, as believers, strong believers, you need to be able to truly expose evil, you know, evil deeds, the radical evil, the counterfeits. That's important. Grave sucking is false. Destiny cards are false. You know, you can go through a number of these things that are out there right now that, you know, commanding angels and sitting around talking and wrestling around and playing with them and rolling around with them on the grass, as I read one book, is all false. It doesn't work that way. And it all departs from Scripture. It all moves away from the centrality of Jesus and how God works in our lives. Listen, if we know him and he's working in our lives, there's so much that he does work in our lives. There's nothing that he is holding back. That's exactly the principle in Genesis 3. Satan's job was to pluck away that word that they've been given to protect them, to cast doubt on God, yea, hath God said. But part of that involved there's lying, but the lying was subtle. And the goal was to loosen their grip on this and that one singular verse of Scripture, per se. That's what it was equivalent to protect them, to loosen that, to offer something else, and get them to exchange, to choose to exchange. And that was based on an engagement of a fallen cherub. That's engaged. So we see that very principle there. We see that, I think, even in the garden, there is a masquerading. Many a scholar believe that he came as a shining one. If you look at Eve, when you look at the Hebrew a little bit, as she's looking and desiring, there's an emotional tantalizing. She's drawn in. She engaged too much. She's just like Jesus, quoting Scripture and standing his ground is it, period. That's all you got to do. Quoting Scripture and standing your ground is superior. It's not about out-arguing the devil. It's standing in Christ and standing in authority and standing in the Word of God and not moving to the right or the left. You know, so when it comes down to the counterfeit, they're somewhat like us. I mean, there's no question among whether that's Sai Baba and the Maitreya and many others worldwide, the Reiki and all the rest, New Age, there's going to be spirits coming through the channel, entities engaging. There's going to be healings, felt supernatural occurrences, all kinds of things, all kinds of spiritual direct experiences. They're real, but they're lethal. They're real, but they're counterfeit. And that's important to understand. They are real, counterfeit, and lethal, and will lead people further away, suggesting that there is a superior way. That's what happened in the garden. Satan's coming to say he's got a superior way, a knowledge and stuff. God doesn't want you to have the highest and the best. Well, that was a lie. You can't get higher and better than what the immortal, infinite God brings us, the deep things of God. You can't get higher. And that was one of the tactical ways in which the enemy worked to try to slide, humanity. And the truth is, we as humanity, I mean, we did. We chose the lie over truth. We chose the fallen, masqueraded cherub God of this age over the living, immortal God. And that's where the fall comes in. Deception always leads to destruction, damage, and death ultimately. The wages of sin is death. Well, the gift of life in Christ Jesus, don't forget this, the power of the Spirit of God in testifying to that. Now, they also masquerade, we know that. We have shared again and again, meta schizmazo, that particular Greek word. And it all involves, and again, you got to understand, in the dark side, there's supernatural powers and the masquerading, the deception, the supernaturalism is really there. They are dark powers. Now, I believe that's what the early church was experiencing in some sense as they were coming in to deceive. And so 1 John is really a word that brings definitive discernment. What to embrace and what to reject. What to stand in power with and what to stand opposed to. To know the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error is vital, especially now. So here's some questions I want to throw out. When it comes to the counterfeit, if you saw miracles and signs and wonders and things done, how about Lakeland, Florida? How about other places around the world and places we hear about things happening? How do you know, number one, how do you expose them? How do you confront them? And how do you expel and triumph over them? And the whole, part of the issue is why? Well, let me start with the last one. Why would you even do it? Well, because it will spread. The dark side is a predator, operative, masquerading, bringing counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles. And as they do that, they're going to keep doing it for one reason. They're here to subjugate the entire population of the planet. Is that huge? Is that too big? Is that too much for us to understand? Revelation 12. I'm saying again, and I've never heard a sermon in 40 years on it, but it's right there in Scripture, and that's part of our understanding as believers. The dark side wants the whole world. The dark side wants political ideology. The dark side wants military acquisition and inspiring them for the weapons of the future. The dark side wants the wealthy elite because of the money needed. The dark side wants to inspire technologies for its use in simulation. And the more you know that biblical insight of his origins, his nature, his methods, and the agenda. When's the last time you heard a sermon on that? Have you ever? Now, so the questions I have in the notes here, how do you know the difference between what is true and what is not? Well, 1 John, if you have the Spirit of God and the Word of God and Christ as God in human flesh, well, then you will have a superior ability to know, K-N-O-W, the biblical Greek word, gnosko. This is how we know, and that word is used over 30 times in the book of 1 John, to know experientially and deeply. So when you read in 1 John 4 that we are to know and recognize the spirit of error as opposed to the spirit of truth. And then, to really understand the spirit of Antichrist, by the way, in chapters 3 and, well, the whole book, but chapters 2, 3, and 4 are very crucial to that. When you look at that, then you read 1 John 4, 4, that incredible great verse that we need to know by the verse and by the confidence of the presence of the Spirit of God in us. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. Now, that's important for us. That's a pressing point God makes as he calls on all believers, not specially believers, all believers, test the spirits to see if they come from God. Test the miracles, test the speakings, test the prophecies, test the visions, test all of the supernatural, a lot of supernatural things all over the place. Hey, military guys in the area of remote viewing, a lot of supernatural things all over the place. New Agers. Massively supernatural things among pantheism and so forth. And, well, the darker you go, the more they're there. A saint of death. You know why millions are worshiping and engaging the they call the Santa Morate, the saint of death down there in Mexico? One of the number one testimonies is because that entity answers them. That entity helps them if you do the sacrifice. Incrementally, the sacrifice leads them to do bigger ones and bigger ones and eventually blood, because what they're not telling them is that this is an ancient Mesoamerican. This goes back to the Aztecs. This is a demon god that will ultimately want blood and human sacrifice for greater territorial, if not national, control. Well, it's already got a hold of the drug lords. It's already operative there powerfully. When you have 15 million people bowing the knee, going and giving honor and sacrifices, anything from food to things and blood and whatever, then you just broaden the door for a territorial, an ancient territorial demon god to redo what it's done in the past. Its ultimate lead, as everywhere in the world, the ancient demon gods of the Old Testament, when they're invoked and draw people back to open the gateways, doorways to them, it'll lead to human sacrifice everywhere, let alone underground. So how do you know? Well, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the living Christ, and being aware, being obedient to Scripture. Where to be to watch and be alert, and where to test and where to look at and where to discern. You're supposed to discern. The more the Word of God lives in you, you're going to discern. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. I write to you, young believers, because you are strong, and the Word of God lives, lives and dwells in you. And you've overcome. You've got victory over the evil one. So greater is he. So the superiority is in the lap of the believer in Christ. So how do you know? That's it, 1 John. How do you expose? Well, that's what it says in Ephesians. We're all commanded. You know, we have not been discipled that way. We've not been told, hey, you're supposed to, if you know this, if you engage this, if you see this stuff, you're supposed to warn others with definitive evidence, expose this. Let light expose this as radical evil, as counterfeit, as wrong. Thirdly, confront it. Well, yes, you come against it in prayer. When you see something that you think is not from God and you're getting discernment, it's not from God, but it's really spiritually functioning or even trying to bring deception to believers, then you need to pray. You need to come up and stand up against it. We're here as powerful believers to confront that. I will build my church, and the gates, the most powerful stance, standing, and what's coming out of the gates of hell cannot prevail against the forward moving, the obedient believer. And that's why I know, and that's why Philip is such a great, you know, example. He's an example for all of us and how powerful and strong and fruitful all of us can become. I want you to know that. It's more joyful to be strong in the Lord, powerful in the Lord, even when you have difficulties, how to recover, how to really seek the Lord, how to get answers, how to have the joy of the Lord being your strength. That's just far superior than to live subnormal and weak and defeated. I don't like seeing defeated believers. I don't like seeing believers that are quenching the Spirit of God and grieving the Spirit of God. Under questions here, and how do you expel or triumph over? Well, I think direct, you know, when you're confronting, exposing. But if I'm at a meeting and I something's really demonically operative and nobody's really, you know, it might seem weird, it might be seeming off, but you got to do something. You started with prayer maybe and so forth, but you might have to stand up and confront it. In Acts 13, Paul, the Spirit-filled servant of God, stared at the sorcerer. And by and led by the Spirit of God, he spoke, and a powerful shutting down of the sorcerer occurred. You can point at it, you can come there, you can target it, you can pray against it. I even think from a distance with hundreds of you, and we're going to say thousands should be, let's pray against a Bohemian Grove, pray that God shakes and quakes and brings all the structure of that, exposing it, bringing it down, bringing past and present victims out to salvation and healing, bringing the elitists down to their knees. Did not God bring Saul of Tarsus down to his knees? And when necessary, the hardest of the hard that won't turn, did not God bring down Pharaoh? Did not God in the New Testament, Book of Acts, bring down Herod? Remember the wicked queen that I told you about in Scotland? Feared the prayers of John Knox more than an invading army. Believers should become joyful and happy in their faith and growing in the Lord and exhibiting the love of Jesus. But they can also stand outraged at radical evil and fierce in their response to it, in praying against it, in rebuking it, in commanding it, in asking God to stretch his hand and bring destruction. 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Okay? So point three on the notes was the ones to come. Now, I already mentioned 1 John 2. Many antichrist and then the one to come. Now, let me tell you something. When we're talking about the false prophet who will bring about the most supernatural workings ever in history and will deceive more people than anybody, than all of it put together, basically, what he's going to do supernaturally is bring seduction to billions. And the Antichrist, of course, that whole system. Now, here's the important thing. We have a heads up on that. The world doesn't. We have an insight and a heads up of the sequence of satanic evolution, its agenda, how it will rise incrementally, frog in the kettle approach, and then, as I believe now, bulging at the seams, because I believe this. Here's my opinion. Antichrist has been born. False prophet has been born. Maybe they're up there around 30 or so. They've been around for decades, I'm saying now. Behind the scenes and supernaturally shielded, and the restrainer holds back the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2. Now, with this, what I'm telling you is, when the Scripture gives us the insight, you think the false prophet just sitting, what is he doing? Just sitting in a basement somewhere waiting for decades? No, he's operative. Everything in Scripture would point to them being operative, pressing and pressing and pressing. So they've had decades now to do the final building of the shadow system, politically, militarily, economically, technology, all that. Worldwide, that system, in my view, is pretty much in place. Under the surface of the deep, though, supernaturally dark side, shielded and covered, and God Himself has a restrainer holding back the unleashing of it all. Him holding back the Antichrist holds back all of it. Go read that in 2 Thessalonians 2. So I've got to give you this, the one to come. This is very important for us to understand, because let's say it all breaks loose in 10 years. Let's just say the restrainer is removed, Antichrist launches, the first step, Red Horse, the massive global bloodshed, chaos, and collapsing and bringing things down, which leads to the Black Horse, collapse of the world economy and food chain stuff, which then moves to the pale Green Horse, the immediate skirmishes of war, the deaths of a fourth of mankind, billions possibly, through those skirmishes of war, through the pestilence and through the famine and the beasts, the Therion, most likely in reference to the satanic super soldiers. They're going to be a part of that. So when we read this, that's why Jesus taught this, and I've got to express this important. This is important. It brings outrage to me about the dark side, how broad and wide and so the broadest of and the heights of its deception manifesting the world brings about the greatest destruction and damage and than ever in. That's why Jesus said it's unprecedented, that never in history has there been anything like this. Never again will it happen. So when you do read of the false prophet ascending from Ek out of the earth, most likely, and here's my book, I believe he's been operative for a few dozen of years. I mean, I believe that he's been supernaturally operative behind the scenes in the building of the system they need to build. That he and the Antichrist, they know each other. You do know that, right? Long before they come out into the public and bring out the global system, they've been operative behind the scenes. And biblical prophecy will show, and I believe this, they will have more time to build and operate behind the scenes than they'll have when they come out. Such destruction's coming, such wrath of God's going to target them, that we have a, they're only here for, about 7 years until Revelation 19. Hallelujah. Have you read that? So the one to come, and I'm going to tell you, the Antichrist will, and the voice of the ancient hate will come, but the false prophet, almost no books on that, no major studies on that, and yet he is, Revelation 13, he will be one of the most supernaturally demonstrative, powerful persons ever in history outside of Jesus, but also outside of anything. He's like the sorcerer's sorcerer. He's above it all. He's in charge of the mark of the beast. He's in charge of the image of the beast. He will breathe a spirit. Pneuma, he's going to breathe into it out of his mouth. He's going to breathe into it a spirit and make that thing alive. And it will speak and it will kill those who won't bow down to the Antichrist. Now you see that. You see the supernatural things, fire coming down. the unprecedented supernaturalism is going to flow. Now, I believe this, say it happens in 10 years from now, but for the last 20 years and the next 10 years and more so, what is that system doing behind the scenes? What are they doing in the shadows? Well, the building of the troops, Himmler wanted 200 million. They need, and the Bible speaks about the armies of the Antichrist. They have the mark of the beast. They worship the image, Revelation 19, 20, 21. That's future history. But it takes development. So there will be, by the dark side, a targeting so as to build on a global, multi-continental way, satanic super soldiers that are going to be the ones used, that when the restrainer is removed, the rebellion, the great revolt, the Red Horse event. Now, 99% of all believers in the last 10 years that I asked at conferences and said, do you know what the Red Horse prophecy is telling us? Nobody did. Silence. It's madness. We can say we warn the intel agencies, we warn the world. There's an underground. It's supernatural. It's bigger. It's broader. It's embedded itself. It has assimilated. It is so deep into the political world, military world, economic elitists, and even the technology world. It is so deeply in. But again, from the world. Even though there's a concept of New World Order, a concept of the elite, a concept of the secret societies, a concept of the shadow system, it doesn't scratch the surface of how deadly, how organized, how connected. If you go back to the book of Daniel and read as God gave 2,600 years ago about this Revelation 13 event, when the Antichrist and then the entire system comes with him, Anabano, as if out of nowhere, but they've been there all along for decades anyway, decades and decades, and they come to power, the most powerful political, military, economic, and technological system, the most radically evil, the most suppressive, the most surveillance ever, the most control. Anyone not succumbing to be trampled down. So you read what God says about that system. And that's 2,600 years ago, and here we are. All prophecy is going to be fulfilled. You know that. And so much of it has been, but some of the biggest of all, we haven't. The Antichrist has not yet been released. The restrainer hasn't been removed. And so Red Horse, Black Horse, Pale Green Horse hasn't occurred. Now, read the rest of the seven seals, and God responds, and he sends the dark side running for the underground, trembling in fear. You go read and see how. God has an answer to all of what they're going to do. Well, the one to come, the false prophet, he's going to be underground for a long time. Revelation 13, when it says that Anabano, he ascends up out of the earth. So is he hidden underneath? Is it kind of like deep in the Vatican's underground? I don't know. But it's underground. It's hidden. He's hidden. No one's going to know who he is until he ascends. He has that Anabano up out of the earth. And he's going to be known by his utter dedication to the Antichrist, who will seem like a political leader, who has eyes that look like the eyes of a man. Have you read that in Daniel? We got great profiling of this. The most supernatural person in history, except for Jesus. Powers to seduce billions. Now, he's also a major cause behind Armageddon. So all the military guys, listen up. He's a major cause behind what will be the largest militaristic system gathering around Israel and Jerusalem to raise their weapons into the sky, to stop the descent of Jesu Christu. That's intel from God. Prophecy is infallible, never been broken. What God shows is going to happen is going to happen. He's going to show what the dark side does. He's going to show what humanity does. He's going to show what he does in triumph as Savior, as Deliverer, as the coming King to end that radical evil. The prediction of the utter destruction. So when we have individuals who are listening, knowing you've been generationally birthed as a satanic chosen one. Well, if you're listening, primarily so many of you want out. You do. You just want out of all that, and I'm glad for that. Praise God for that. We pray extraordinary, God, your extraordinary hand in Jesus' name, deliver them. Help bring them out. Bring them out. Help bring them out. So with all of that among us, underneath the surface of the deep, growing more than ever coming out, what kind of believer do you want? So I'm going to give you a couple things here. This is in the notes. Four specific things. What must we do right now? Number one, consume biblical knowledge. Colossians 3:16. Consume biblical knowledge. Number two, become the powerhouse you're meant to be. Acts 1:8. John's Gospel 15. Ephesians 2:10. Number three, unleash the mission of Jesus, the great commission of Jesus, with an embrace of all the presence and power and working and gifting of God, with massive expectation. Jesus said, nothing's impossible to them that believe. Got to be that way on the field of history. Number four, confront the counterfeit. As a believer, with authority, with God all over you, we confront the counterfeit. And I think a tremendous picture of that is in Acts 13. I think that we can see what happens in the Old Testament. We can realize that you are here to stand. And here's some principles. Stand boldly in Christ and fiercely against radical evil and demonic and satanic powers. Number two, stand with power and authority, though. And with teams. I love being with teams. You could be alone. Philip was alone when he went into that city, but he brought others in. I'm going with teams this weekend. I love being with my brothers and sisters. And build teams where you're at. Get one, get two. When two or three gather together, there he is in the midst. When one, two agree touching anything, the answers to prayer are powerful. D, be evangelistic in everything. That's God's heart. It's number one. And E, with confidence that God will demonstrate his power and glorify Jesus. I base that on the book of Acts, example chapter 4. I just do. So I think it's important. I really do. Listen, I want to say how much I love you tonight. I pray that God just incredibly strengthen you in every single way. Gonna right now ask that you remember us and remember the teams this weekend, starting Thursday night, starting Thursday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Just as you remember the Ragged Edge and you remember me, remember the teams and all that we are, and all the work that's going to be done. We've got officials to talk to and urge. We've got perpetrators to pray about and engage and maybe encounter. We got friends that are going to develop and help us. We got victims all over the place. And we just want to be spirit-filled, soul-winning believers out there on the field. So we join all of you doing that all around the world. Love you in China. Love you in Russia. I love you in Spain. I love you in the UK and Scotland. I love you all. You know that. Jesus of Nazareth, the King, Savior of the world, Hero of humanity. Ragged Edge Radio broadcast, Russ Dizdar. Keep us in prayers. Keep us in support, and thank you.